Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, it's Sheila Hardin. What a beautiful day we have here today. It's just gorgeous out. And we're going to be doing the second in the interview with Linda Mullen, and she's going to be talking about ministry through art, which I just think is the most fascinating idea. And I can't wait to hear more. When we stopped, she was doing portraits of young women who had been rescued. So, but before we do that, I'd like to share with you some fast food. Oh, here we go. This is from Proverbs 4:23. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Isn't that something to think about? Your thoughts run your life. So that's your fast food for today. And now we move on to the exciting part of our interview. Linda, how are you today?
I'm doing great. And I love that little piece of filet mignon you just gave us. Because
thank you.
If your thoughts are in the right direction, nothing can stop you from doing what's on your heart to do and partnering with God to have it happen.
Yes, yes. I love the last time we talked when you said you had no artistic ability. You wanted to, but you didn't have any. And you asked the Lord to help you with that. And your paintings are just gorgeous. I love looking at them. The way you use the light and the color and the shading, they're really just beautiful. And our listeners will be able to see two of them when they come on the website, Blog Talk Radio, She Hardin, to look at them. They'll be able to see them while they're listening to you. So the last time we were talking, you were really describing the dire circumstances of young women who had been really trapped in slavery and were in the process of being rescued. And you had been asked to do their portraits. Maybe you could kind of review that a little bit to bring everybody up to speed again.
And, sure. Yes, there's a Freedom 58 project out of Colorado, raises money and really sends it out to ministries around the world that are actually doing the rescuing. Freedom 58 doesn't go in so much as the other people do. And they wanted to put together a traveling art show that would tell the stories of the people that were being rescued, which I think is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And they call it the Faces of Freedom. I got involved with them not because I'm a portrait artist, but because I do a lot of still life. And some of the girls that have been rescued cannot have their faces shown because they still have a price on their head. One of the girls, now they give them fictitious names, and I did a painting of a little girl that we will call Shoshana. And she was actually rescued, and they captured her again.
Oh, my.
And they rescued her a second time. So it was really important to tell her story, but not have her face be shown.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, we'd love for you to get involved. Can you do something other than portraits and still tell the story? So that's what I've done. I've just finished my second painting with them. Both of the paintings do not actually show the face of the girl, but in the paintings, they do tell their story. And when this art show travels, that they do have the backstories of all these girls. And I remember when I sent my first painting off, I literally leaned over the box and cried. All I could think of was what a privilege that God would allow me to use my gift to impact the lives of people. And since that time, God has really shown me that every one of us has a natural design
mm-hmm.
that's been created by God that impacts the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think that if you said to me, what is your gift? I would say, oh, art. Or I would say, well, I write.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really the expressions of my gift. They're not my gift. My gift is that we are each a gift that God gives to the world. And each of us carries something about God within us. So if you wanted to know what my gifts are, my two main gifts are really that I'm creative and I'm a communicator. And so I use art to communicate. I use words to communicate. But the most important thing for each one of us is to understand that when our design meets our call, that's when we have the greatest amount of satisfaction in our life. And our design is really, what do we do that comes naturally? That's our design. And it can be as wide and as big as God, because he gave each one of us a piece of his own design. And our call is simply to be a light to the world. And I pulled out a scripture, if you don't mind, because it's one
please.
Of my favorites.
Yes. Yes.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, and this is from the New Living Translation, it says, clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And it's not carved on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. So when we allow what's on our heart to do, to recognize that we carry the presence of God and partner with him, there's no end to the creativity and the different ways God can use us to touch the world. And it may not have a label. It may not be, oh, I'm an artist, and I love being an artist. But I've had so many people say to me, I wish I could paint. I don't have any talent. And we really do all have a talent. We all have a design. And so my prayer today for all the listeners is ask God to show you what's your design, because he's wanting to use you in all different ways to impact the world.
That is absolutely true, and it makes me so mad when I run into people and they feel they have no purpose, no direction. They feel they have, well, what gift do I have to give? I don't have any gift or talent. And if they would just ask the Lord to show them, it would be revealed. That's one of the reasons I started this show, was I wanted women to see that they could minister right where they are. And we interview women from all walks of life doing many, many, many different kinds of ministry. And it's only limited by our own thinking. It's only limited by our own thinking, because the Lord can do anything through anyone. You just have to be open and receptive.
Absolutely. And I will also tell you that some of us are designed to be a support to someone else. That's part of our design.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, well, I'm not creative, I can't think of what to do, that doesn't mean that you don't have a design. It may mean that your design is to find someone who's already doing something that you think is really cool and support them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all the body. And it's just so fascinating for me to see the different things that people do and what their natural design is.
You know, it's like people in the world who are called to business and are very successful in business, and their calling might be to raise money so that they can give to ministries that are already going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You have to. You just can't keep your. You can't be in the box. You've got to think out of the box, because I think God's thinking is so far different from ours. And his, obviously his brain is 10 times, millions of times greater than ours, you know. And so we can't even conceive of some of the things that he can conceive for us and some of the things he can do for us and the ways. It's just our thinking that limits it.
Absolutely, and we can't always rely on somebody else. One of the things I always encourage people. I teach workshops and watercolor classes, and I really am happy that it took me as long as it did for me to get as good as I am, because there are people out there that think they can't do it. But I tell them, look where I came from. Look at, if you just start, if you start to take one step, you'll only get better. You'll only get better than what you are. You'll be better tomorrow than you are today if we would just take a step and go out. And one of the other things I learned is that no one can stop me from using my giftings and my talents and my art. We're talking about art today.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone gets into a big gallery and sells $1,000 paintings. I think that's wonderful. Would I like to be that person? Sometimes I would. But I had determined that whether or not anyone purchases my art has a story, and my art carries an impact. So I actually sold a, can I tell you a little story? I sold a piece of furniture here recently. I was trying to get some more room in my art area, and so I had a big, huge desk, and I thought, man, I need to get rid of this. So I put it on Craigslist, and I got a phone call from an attorney, and she came over to look at the desk. The desk was very artistic looking. It wasn't your normal desk.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talking, and it turns out that this woman has a law practice where she advocates for women that have been raped.
And
where the system will not prosecute the rapist because they don't have enough evidence. She left her law practice. She left her very successful law practice and opened up a practice. And what she does is she is able to sue people in a civil action when they couldn't be prosecuted under the criminal law. We all remember O.J. Simpson.
Right.
He was declared not guilty criminally, but in the civil case, he was declared guilty and he had to pay millions of dollars to the family.
Right.
Well, she's doing that with rape victims. And I actually pray over my artwork. I pray that what the Jesus in me goes with it. And so I asked her if she would allow me to donate one of my paintings to her office. Because I knew if my painting went into that office, it would bring healing to those women. And she treated that with a lot of respect. And I sent her images in through email, and she got to choose the image that she wanted, and she chose the painting of an orchid and put it next to, she purchased a real orchid and put my painting next to the orchid in the waiting room where these women will be sitting to go in and see an attorney after going through these horrendous events. Mm-hmm. And I believe my painting is there to bring healing there.
Praise God.
They may not know it. I'm not standing there with a Bible. I'm not handing out a tract, and I'm not preaching from the from the mountaintops. But my painting is there to say something. I have given paintings to patients that have cancer. I got a call from someone whose wife died, and she had one of my paintings in her bedroom, and looked at it every day. There's healing in that. There's, because I have the Lord in me, and the Lord is expressing himself through my gift to these people. I actually believe I am sending the Lord. So there's nothing that we can do. If you're kind to a stranger, Sheila, you and I attended an event this weekend where the speaker talked about just touching a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And believing mm-hmm. that touch is going to meet them where they are and change something for them in their life.
You
and
never
so
know.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know what your actions do for another human being. It's, I remember that fellow talking about his ministry to the homeless and just a kind touch, a kind word can make a huge difference. So there are all kinds of ministries. And we never know sometimes how we've ministered to somebody. We may have said something or done something without even thinking about it, and it may have really impacted them, but we won't know.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things I had to, once again, I'll go back to art since that's what we're talking about today. I went through a little period of time where people wanted me to paint angels and heavenly visions. Now that you're a Christian, don't you want to do this? And mm-hmm. maybe you should be painting that. And that was a little bump for me in the road. But then I realized when the Lord created the earth, everything doesn't look like an angel. A flower looks like a flower, and a tree looks like a tree.
Right.
And the clouds
yeah.
look like clouds. He didn't make everything look alike. He didn't make it all the same color. He didn't make it all the same shape. And yet he says that the very creation speaks that there's a creator. So I don't feel a need to, quote-unquote, paint religious paintings. I just know that every time I paint anything, if it's serious or if it's fun or whatever, I am somehow expressing the creator. And we can also have to take ourselves out of a religious box and think that everything we do has to have a little taste of religion to it, or it's not really spiritual.
Yeah.
When God himself is spiritual all the time in everything he does, you can't get more spiritual than God. So that was good for me. Another thing I did was realize that the more I became involved with the art community, I'm not very much of a group person. I do much better with people one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But I have joined a couple of art societies and have met some of the most wonderful people. I mean, just artists are absolutely wonderful people. They are down to earth. They are absolutely genuine and generous. I have met so many of them, and you can say to somebody, oh, my gosh, I love this painting you did. How did you do that? And they'll say, oh, you know what I did? I did this. They mm-hmm. they love talking about their craft. They're generous in their compliments and their encouragement. And so anyone that's out there right now that thinks, oh, I would love to be an artist, I would love to paint, but, oh, I can't. I have to get really good before I join an art group. No, you don't. Art groups love new artists. They love to encourage people. And you will meet some of the best people, and you will find out that there are many, many artists that walk with the Lord and love him and love reaching out to people around them. And it's just been, a wonderful experience to get involved with the art community.
Well, that's really an encouragement, because I'm sure a lot of people do feel, I would feel that way, oh, I have to at least have something good to take in to prove that I'm an artist to even be here. And so that's a real encouragement that you can go in and learn new things and get encouragement from that group. It's a wonderful encouragement for people.
It is. Now, I live in a very large city. I live in San Diego. I belong to the San Diego Watercolor Society, and there are several thousand members of that society. It's a very active group, and I'll tell you, I've never met a nicer group of people in my life as these people are that belong to the Watercolor Society. If you're in the San Diego area, you really want to join that society. You really do. They've got lots of beginning classes, and they've got a lot of wonderful things for newbies, and nobody walks around saying, how good are you and how many awards do you have? They are just genuinely nice and generous to everybody. So that's
how
been
lovely.
A wonderful thing. Yeah, it's
yes.
been really, really good.
Yeah, that is lovely. Well, now, if people want to see more of your art and find out more about what you do, how would they contact you?
I have a website. My website is lindamullen.com. That's LindaMullen.com. I am in the middle of updating my website. The new website is up, but it doesn't have everything in it. I'm going to be posting classes there. I have my gallery up. I'm going to be starting a blog on my website that's connected to the book that I wrote called Unglued. We did a little interview about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I adore
I'm
that
also,
book. It's wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm going to be, my website is going to be bigger. I do travel and do workshops, and I do private lessons in my studio, semi-private lessons. I'm going to be experimenting with some video lessons, and so I will be building on my career at this point. And so you can get in touch with me through my website. My email is linda@lindamullen.com, and you can get on a mailing list for advertisements and things for classes and things that we're doing. So that's the best way to get in touch with me.
How exciting. You are certainly a diverse person with lots of different interests, and at the core of them is faith, which is a wonderful thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a wonderful thing to see. Go ahead.
I wanted to just say, when you were talking about diversity, that's part of my design, because I remember as a child, one of my greatest fears is that I would have a boring life. Isn't that funny? I was telling my mother that recently. I said, Ma, listen, I used to worry I'd have a boring life. So that is part of my design, that I like to do a lot of different things.
You certainly do. And not only that, you're good at all of them. That's wonderful. Absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, and I work hard at it. I really develop the things that I do. So they don't, not too much comes to me, quote unquote, naturally. I'm definitely someone that works at my crafts and develops through that practice.
Well, I think that's true for all of us, isn't it? If we don't
mm-hmm.
if we don't do something and continue working on improving it, it doesn't get better, and it doesn't get to be fully the gifting that we're supposed to be sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
Well, Linda, it's been an absolute treat talking with you. I love hearing all of your stories, and thank you so much for the encouragement you're giving for all those artists out there who think they can't or won't or shouldn't or whatever. It's just a wonderful encouragement to them.
Oh, that's good, because I tell everyone in my class, you can't make a mistake on a painting. It's just impossible. You can't make a mistake. So
it makes me
want
to sign
up for.
It makes me want to sign up for a lesson like tomorrow morning.
All right.
Well, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
Okay, so we stopped 5 minutes.